All right. Bishul Achar Bishul. So we're gonna talk about Bishul Achar Bishul. We're gonna talk about Bishul Achar Tzliya, Tzliya Achar Bishul, Tzliya Achar Tzliya, Bishul Luchamei Tiberia, all sorts of cooking antics. But we have to start all of it with a key Gemara, Psachim Mem Aleph, and it's there in Source Aleph. Ein Mevashlim, right? That was the Mishnah itself. We know we're in the Korban Pesach that so that you're not allowed to have it. Mevushal, the pasuk says, Mevushal Mevushal Bamayim. So Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says, I have a pasuk Bamayim. Right? Uvashel Mevushal Bamayim, I should say, technically. You can't have it Mevushal in water. So Ein Liela Bamayim. That only tells me that I can't have it from boiled in water. Shar Mashkin Minayin. And how do I know that I can't have it boiled in other liquids? Amrit Kavachomer. Look, it's logical. Uma Mayim Shein Mefigin Taman Asurin. Water is not going to extrude any taste into the Korban Pesach. It's going to taste just like a lamb or a goat, regardless of the water. And yet, Asur. So Shar Mashkin Shein Mefigin Taman Lo Kol Shekein. Certainly then, other tastes, other liquids, I should say, which will extrude a taste that will be absorbed in the Korban Pesach, certainly it's no good. I want to have tzli. I want to have a roasted Korban Pesach, and it should taste like a Korban Pesach. Now, the idea of taste is going to be an important point. We're going to come back to this, so remember that line. The Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, I don't need your Kal Vachomers. He says, Bamayim, the Torah says, Ein li ela mayim. Shar mashkeminayin, tamad lomar, uvashel mevushal. The pasuk says, uvashel mevushal, double language, mikol makom, in any way in which it's mevushal. We are defining bishul here as cooking in a liquid. Okay, that's critical to this. It's the problem of the word mevushal and the word bishul, that we use the term to mean cooking as a generic thing, but as a technical term, it's cooking in a liquid, as opposed to tzliya, where you're roasting over a fire, as opposed to afia, where you're baking it in a dry state, on a hot surface, perhaps in an oven, not necessarily. Rebbe says, I don't need a kal vachomer, I've got a pasuk. My benayu, who cares? What's the difference whether you have a pasuk or not? Ike benayu tzli kador. The difference would be pot roast. You roasted it, but you roasted it in a pot. So its own juices are going to come out. According to the Kal Vachomer, this should be fine. Right? Because there is no taste that's been added, so it's no worse than water is, and water has a specific pasuk. However, if you tell me bashal mevushal, any type of bishul, it has bishul in its juices. So pot roast would be the nafkamina lahalacha. V'rabbanan hai bashal mevushal my avdilu. Okay, so if your name is not Rebbe, and you learned a Kal Vachomer, what do you do exactly with the double language of bashal mevushal? Mibayalei lechadasanya, use it for the following brisa. Bishlo ve'achar kach tzla'o. If you did bishul, and then you roasted it. Oshet slow, viachakach bishla, or the reverse. You did tzliya, you roasted it, and then you did bishul. Chayav, the Brisa says. Korban Pesach is no good, whether you did the bishul before the tzliya or after the tzliya. So bishla, I'm a bishla, viachakach slow, chayav. I understand that if you did the bishul first, now you're liable. Daha bishle, because after all, you did the bishul. The later tzliya is not going to cancel out the earlier bishul. Ella slow, ve'achkach bishlo, but if I roasted it first, and then afterwards it underwent a bishul process, who cares? Hatzliyeshu, it is roasted. That was how it was cooked. Why am I going to be chayev? Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Hamani Rabbi Yossi. He says, you know who the author is? That's Rabbi Yossi. Disanya, because Rabbi Yossi says, regarding matzah, Yotzin berikik hasharoi, it's not Rabbi Yossi. The Brisa says, Yotzin berikik hasharoi umuvushal shaloni moach divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, if you have matzah that was baked and then underwent bishul, it's still kosher. As long as it isn't melted, it's still kosher for matzah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yotzin berikik hasharoi. Rabbi Yossi says, if it got soaked in something, it's fine. He's eating the brach. He's got no issues. Avalah ubimuvushal. But you can't use matzah that was mevushal afal pi shaloni malach, even though it was not, even though it didn't melt, even though it retained its form. Nonetheless, you can't use matzah that was cooked. So Rabbi Yossi's position is that if it undergoes bishul after the initial cooking process, it's called mevushal.
After the cooking process?
After the bishul process. In this case, it's Tafia, correct. In the Matzah case, it's Tafia. In the Korban Pesach case, it's Sliya. Right. So the so Rabbi Yossi's position is that a re-cooking through bishul will cancel out the initial process regarding matzah. And we are applying that principle regarding Korban Pesach also. And saying that if you did bishul, if you did Sliya and then you did bishul, your Korban Pesach is no good. That's Rabbi Yossi. And Ula Omar, and this is the point we wanted to get to, Ula says, Afilutem Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Meir will agree, Korban Pesach is no good in this way, even though he thinks the matzah is fine. Why? Shani hacha, damakro, vashel mevushal, mikol makom, because the pasuk says, vashel mevushal. I should have made a table on this page. It would have made it a lot easier, but then you wouldn't have had to work for it. The idea is that Rebbe says, vashel mevushal teaches me in any liquid, no matter what. Ula says, Bashel Mevushal teaches me, even if it underwent some other cooking process first, so long as at some point it undergoes Bishul, it is no good as a Korban Pesach. Got it?
Yep.
Are we all on the same page just in terms of getting this Gemara down? We're going to be referring back to this Gemara for the rest of the night, so I want to make sure that that we have the basics down. Their first point is other liquids. And maybe Vashel Mevushal is that, or maybe it's a Kavachomer from water. And then the second point is, what about Korban Pesach that underwent a different cooking process and then underwent Sliya? And the answer is, no good. Either you take Rabbi Yossi's position that that it's no good regarding matzah in general, and therefore it's no good regarding Korban Pesach also, or you take Ula's position that that's what I'm getting from Vashel Mevushal.
For Rebbe, who uses bushel, the bushel to mean in every other liquid, does he have a separate?
So he'll have to follow Rabbi Yossi. Okay. He'll have to take Rabbi Yossi. It's going to be Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi. I guess this maybe is a good way to think about it. Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi in one camp, and then the Tanakhama from that original statement who held the Kal Vachomer versus Rebbe, and it's going to be Rabbi Meir. Well, not Rabbi Meir necessarily. It's Tanakama and Ula. Rabbi Meir is off to the side because Rabbi Meir actually believes that your matzah is okay. We don't know what he would say regarding Korban Pesach. He's sort of on the outs. But those are that's how they line up. Rabbi lines up with Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama lines up with Ula. I'm assuming that Rabbi agrees with Rabbi Yossi. I don't actually have any proof of that. Okay. So, this brings us to the interplay between Bishul and Sliya. And I want to discuss it regarding the Korban Pesach, regarding Shabbos, and regarding Basar V'Chalav. So, regarding Korban Pesach, you did Bishul and then you did it Sliya. We know it's no good, right? We just read that in the Gemara. The Rambam brings it as halacha in source base. The Mevushal Shehizhiru Alav Torah, Bein Shenis Bashal B'Mayim, Bein Shenis Bashal B'Shar Mashkin of Meperos, Shnemar Vashel Mevushal, Riba Hakol, right? So he follows Rebbe's use of the pasuk. And then Tzalahu biachach bishlo, osha bishlo biachach tzalahu, osha so tzli kedera for that matter, v'achalo chayav. Right? That's also like Rebbe on the tzli kader. Avol muter lasachos abiyayin b'shemen. The other things are not germane for us. But the point is that he indeed says that you are going to be chayav. If you do Bishul and then Tzliya, if you do Tzliya and then Bishul, either way. Okay? That part is clear. So as far as the Korban Pesach is concerned, Tzliya does not cancel the previous Bishul. If you did Bishul and then you did it Tzliya, that's our first discussion, and then we'll get to Tzliya and then Bishul. So if you did Bishul first and then Tzliya, the Rambam says, your Tzliya does not cancel the previous Bishul and is no good for the Korban Pesach. The same thing is true regarding Shabbos. That the second cooking you do matters. Take a look, please, at Source Gimel, key passage from Hilcha Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch Arachaim, Simen Shin Yud Chesif, Dalet. Tam Shulchan is Bashal Kol Tzarcho. Okay? It was fully cooked. Yeshbo Mishum Bishol Im Nitzdanein, if it then cools off, there's an issue of Bishol where you heat it up, and they go through the nice discussion there, which you don't actually need at the moment. So I'm going to skip it for now, it may come back later. About Mitzdamek V'yafalo, fine. But then, hey, Yesh Misha Omer, some say, the Dabar Shene'efa O Nitzla, if it's already undergone Afia or Tzlia, in Bishlo Achakach B'mashke, Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul. If you heat it up then in a liquid afterwards, there is a Bishul issue. This is the reverse of the case we're talking about right now. This is Tzlia and then Bishul. Va'asulita impas afilu b'chli sheni shayetzo ledesbo. And then again, that part is not germane for us at the moment. We're going to be coming back to it. So the statement here, as of now, is simply that if it's tzoloi and then mevushal, it's no good. But we understand this to also mean if it's mevushal and then it's tzoloi, the same thing is going to apply. The same principle is going to be relevant. Now, the problem is that this implies two opposite things. And here's one of the interesting points. Within Korban Pesach, you told me that the original Bishul is not lost. Right? In the case where I did Bishul and then Tzlia. If I had a whiteboard, that would actually be perfect, because then I could actually do the one and the two and this and this and just point to it. It'd be a lot easier. Nope. As far as Korban Pesach is concerned, the initial Bishul is not lost when you do Tzlia, and therefore you're Chayav. However, according to Hilchos Shabbos, if you do Bishul and then Tzlia, you're Chayav when you do your Tzlia. Why am I Chayav? My original Bishul should stand. It did in the case of Korban Pesach. Why doesn't my initial Bishul remain when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos? That's my question. So the Michas Chinuch addresses this in Mitzvah Zayin, Sivka and Dalet. The answer is not what we're really looking for. He says, if you see where Dalet is, it's the inside column on Daf Mem Hey. So I'm jumping to the middle of the paragraph. Ubi Bishla Be'achar Kach Tzala, it's right after a period. You see it? Ubi Bishla? Okay. Bishlo ve'achar kach tzala'o, where you did Bishlo and then Tzlia, poshut b'shas dechayev. It's clear in the Gemara you're chayev. Avshet tzala'o achar kach, even though you did Tzlia again, mikol makom lo nifka mimenu shein Bishlo, it never lost the term Bishlo. Avim nomer yesh Tzlia achar Bishlo le'inyan Shabbos, even if we're going to say that Tzlia does have force after you do Bishlo as far as Shabbos, ayin rachayim, etc. Mikol makom haynu lechayvo ata. That only means you are liable now for this process. Avalo nifka hakodem. But the original isn't lost. And that's it. He doesn't really address it. He says, oh, lav davka. The fact that you're chayav for the second act of cooking that you do on Shabbos doesn't mean that the first one is canceled out. That does not necessarily imply it. In his next paragraph there, in Oz Hey, this issue comes up a second time. And he says, well, you know what? Not everybody actually believes this anyway. Not everybody believes that you're chayav when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. There is a view, quoted in the Rama, from the Mordechai, that says it's not so. If you look back now at Archaim Simin Shin Yud Ches, the Seif Hey, in Source Gimel, the Yesh Matirin. Now the Rama says, Bechli Sheni. Yesh Matirin, right? Because they hold the Kli Sheni doesn't actually do it. But the Yesh Mekilin Afilu B'Kli Rishon. But we don't do that. But what he's getting this from is the Mordechai in Shabbos, Remez Shin Beis, that one would actually be Pater if he did Bishul and then Tzlia. So that was his. That's a second possible answer as to this apparent contradiction, where on Pesach, Tzlia doesn't cancel Bishul, but on Shabbos, Tzlia appears to cancel Bishul. So I'll tell you, aha, but there's a view that says it doesn't. I thought there was a third possible answer. Maybe, and I don't know, maybe I'm just confusing shittos in terms of who says what, but maybe when it comes to Shabbos, it's true that Tzliya nullifies the original Bishul. And for Korban Pesach, it also would, if not for the Gzeres HaKasuv of Bashal Mevushal. In other words, maybe the rule is, second Tzliya really does cancel out Bishul. But for Pesach, we have this other set of rules. Bashal Mevushal trumps everything.
It seems to me, when the Inyan of Shabbos, the reason that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but Yesh Tzli Achar Bishul, is because by Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, you haven't really done anything different to what you've already done.
Right.
Whereas with Tzli or Afia, you've done something, you've changed the entity, the food, which is what the basic chiyuv of Bishul is.
Right.
Whereas by Pesach, like you said, it's the reason seems to be quite different. There seems to be some sort of a gezeres hakasuv that this is what you should do or this is what you shouldn't do, and it's not really dependent on what you do to the food.
Right. So I would go that route, except what you just said in the very beginning of it regarding Hachal Shabbos. Right? Regarding Hachal Shabbos, it's that you did something when you did Tzliya, as opposed to Bishul Achar Bishul, you didn't do something. What we really mean when we say you did something is you affected a change.
Right.
Bishul Achar Bishul, it didn't affect a change. It's already
right.
Bishul.
Right.
Tzliya, I did. Right. Well, that begs the question. When you did a change, does that mean you canceled out what was there first?
Not necessarily.
Well, that, I think, is what he means when he says Lav Dafka. Maybe yeah. Not.
So that's what I'm saying, that may be the reason why on Pesach it might be a different, it might be a gzeres hakasuv.
Right.
Whereas by Shabbos it's enough to be mechayiv if you've affected a change, but you may not necessarily have undone what was done before. That's not what the Hilchos Shabbos
right.
were looking for. They were looking for a change.
Right.
The change is there. It may have created a new bria. It's a visual bitzel tzli type of thing.
Right.
But the change is nonetheless there, which is mechayev you.
Right. Could be. Theoretically possible. Theoretically possible, for sure. And I don't have a better answer right now. Although I like that there's a kasuv possibility. I thought maybe we could use meat and milk as a kasuv hashlishi. Like, well, what happens over there? Do we say it cancels out or it doesn't? The problem is that no one seems to address it. I hunted and hunted, and I couldn't find anybody who addressed this issue of Bishul and then Tzliya regarding Basar Chalav. We know that all forms of cooking meat and milk are usur, right? That's clear. But let's say you have meat and milk that was mevushal by someone who wasn't Jewish, or by some other Jew, whatever it was. I wasn't involved. And then I came along and I did Tzliya. So am I now going to be chayav? So take a look, though, at source Dalet, Chulin Kuv Dalet Amid Beis. They're dealing with putting meat and cheese on the same table, having them together on the same table, and then poultry and cheese. So Isharis Leila Suke Of Ugvina, if you'll permit him to put poultry and cheese on the table, Asila Suke Basar Ugvina, the next step will be that he's going to put meat and cheese on the same table. If you let him do poultry, he's going to do beef. Umecho basar v'chalav d'oraisa. And at that point, he's going to end up eating meat and milk d'oraisa. To which Rav Sheshet says, what? Maskifla Rav Sheshet, sof sof, tzonin b'tzonin hu. What are you talking about? Everything's cold. That's not basar v'chalav d'oraisa. Basar v'chalav d'oraisa means basar v'chalav cooked together. So Amar Abaye, gzera shemayala be'ilfas roteach. Abaye says the concern is you're going to put it into a hot pot. That's our concern. To which the Gemara says, but so sof cliche nihu, cliche in a mavashal. I don't care. So put it in a hot pot, have fun. The Ella gzera shemayala be'ilfas risho. No, the problem is you're going to stick it into a kli risho. That's the Gemara. So we're going to see in a little bit the crazy place here of Yonasan Ibishitz. Understands as a given here that our concern is heating a non-Jew's kli. Well, he's going to have a discussion about heating a non-Jew's kli, but you're cooking the meat and the milk, which have already been cooked in this kli. The way the crazy place is going to take this is that it's talking about stuff that's been cooked before. It's not raw cheese. It's not raw meat. It's actually pre-cooked. And you are now cooking it a second time. That's the case. And it does matter, right, as evidenced in the Gemara. They don't want it on the same table, lest you do this. So from the fact that we say that it does matter when you do this, and we don't distinguish by Basar V'Chalav between Bishul, Achia, Tzliya, that tells me that perhaps Tzli after Bishul will matter regarding Basar V'Chalav. But it's a stretch. It's a stretch. I can't really say that without something more explicit as a source. So Bishul and then Tzliya, the second cooking matters in Pesach. The second cooking matters in, I'm sorry, the first cooking matters in Pesach. The second cooking matters in Shabbos. Right. Which brings us to the reverse case. You roasted it and then you did the Bishul. Now what? So regarding Pesach, we say Chayav. You're Chayav. Right? We saw that already before in source base, in the Rambam in Halacha Ches over there. We said Chayav. Why? Either like Rabbi Yossi, who said that the matzah that was then boiled is no good, or like Ula said, Gzeres HaKasuv of Bashal Mavushal. Right? Either we're barring from matzah or we have Bashal Mavushal. But either way, Tzliya and then Bishul is no good. Your second act of cooking, your act of Bishul, in other words, matters. What about regarding Shabbos? So take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in Source Hay, Mishum Bishul. He says, "The Afa Gav the Ain Bishul Achar Bishul B'Davar Yavesh." Granted that there's no such thing as re-Bishul regarding something that's dry. Mikol Makom Yesh Bishul Achar Tzli. There is Bishul after Tzli. V'Afilu Adayin Rotech Machmas Tzli. And even if it's still hot from the original Tzliya, doesn't matter. The Bishul after Tzli is a problem. So now, regarding Karban Pesach, you're telling me that the new Bishul matters even though it underwent Tzliya, right? Regarding Shabbos, you're telling me that the new Bishul matters as well. Does the Bishul nullify the original Tzliya? Not necessarily. The Prima Gadim quotes our Gemara in Psachim to say that it doesn't necessarily do that. The initial act is not lost, which leads to a very interesting kula. Take a look, please, at Source Vav. This is Bishul Achar Tzliya. Yesh Lomar, De'ein Mevata Bishul Litzliya, Letosvos Sham, De'dachinan De'tam Matzah Shayach LePesach Shayach LePesach Litzalav Gamke. He says, it could be that the Bishul is not really nullifying the Tzliya. That's not really what's going on. According to Tosfos, in the discussion there about the matzah and the matzah that was cooked, and the point is that if you do Bishul on matzah, then you lose the taste of matzah. If you do Bishul on the Karban Pesach, you lose the taste of Tzliya. That was our point that I mentioned earlier about taste mattering. The Yesh Lomar, you could say, Af l'tosfos, lav kavanasam de bishul ein mevatal tam tzliya. Even according to Tosfos, he doesn't mean that bishul does not eliminate the taste of tzliya when Tosfos says this. It isn't that that it hasn't lost the taste of tzliya, el demabekach, but I don't care about taste. He reads into Tosfos. What do you mean? Dibematza lechem oni ba'ina. Matzah has to be lechem oni. If you do bishul, it's no longer lechem oni. This is not the way aniyim eat matzah. Whereas Pesach, he's going to argue along the lines of your point about it being just a requirement of a pasuk. This should undergo tzliya, right? And tzliya alone. He says Pesach rak tzali bo'inan. Pesach just requires that it have undergone the experience of tzliya. Even though there's no taste of tzliya once you do your bishul, nonetheless it's fine. In other words, his argument is essentially that number one, bishul may not eliminate the taste of tzliya. Bishul might not eliminate the taste of tzliya, but even if it does, it's not the end of the world, right? Even if it does, it's not the end of the world, because the Karban Pesach underwent tzliya. One way or another, it underwent.
No.
But he's saying that the idea is that if not for my pasuk of Basham of Vushal, I would be okay, because who cares whether it tastes like tzliya or not? The point isn't whether it tastes like tzli at all. Matzah, you need a certain taste. Korban Pesach, who says it has to taste like tzli?
Not necessarily a taste, but you need a certain consistency or whatever.
It Why? Is. It's meat that underwent tzli.
We're talking about my matzah.
Oh, matzah. Yeah. I mean, my problem with this is that the Gemara in Pesachim did care about taste.
Yeah.
When we talk about
Otherwise,
I was
kind of surprised to see the taste that the Gemara brings down because to me I always thought it was exerce a kasa, that it has to be tzli.
Right.
Because that's the way it was done in the first instance, so that's the way it should be carried on the gyres.
Yeah. Afa pichein, that's what he said.
There is an element of taste, of course. There's a difference between the taste of something that's tzli and something that's mevushal.
Right.
But then the borders are blurred when you say that you could do bishul achat tzli. And that's okay. So then, obviously, the taste is going to be different too, but we don't care about it anymore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, take a look at what he does with it. Because recognize the kula that comes out of this. You could do bishul and then tzliya before Shabbos. Right? You did bishul before Shabbos? Not a Korban Pesach. You do bishul before Shabbos, then you do tzliya before Shabbos, and now you can do bishul on Shabbos. Because the initial act is not lost. So therefore it has bishul, and ain't bishul acha bishul, right? And it gained tzliya without losing bishul. That's the argument from the Prima Gadim.
But you hold, even if you hold yesh bishul?
Even if you hold yesh tzliya acha bishul, yes.
So why is that? So you would say that just because it was a bishul first, and then the third step, you have bishul again, so that should be
ein bishul acha bishul.
That should be ein bishul acha bishul.
Yeah.
Even if you hold yesh tzli acha bishul.
Yeah, because I did that too. That's what he done. What you're worried about is really bishul achar tzliya.
Bishul achar tzliya.
Is really
yes,
what
you're worried about. Yes. Well, then you have bishul achar.
So
no,
take a look.
Which way?
Take a look at the Biral Halacha Zion, because I think you're bothered by what's going to bother him. Vayim prima gadim shevim mipsachem em aleph. The loan is batal shem bishul harisha. V'holu mized the motel l'shrosa b'chamin b'shabbos. Roots alom arim asa tzli achar bishul be'erev Shabbos. I didn't put that note in. That appears in the Biral Halacha. Kishar davar mevushal. Right? You'd be allowed to do that. V'nira tehu adin l'di day b'bishul achar tzli. So first of all, he says, well, let's expand this further. Let's go the other way now. Let's say you had tzli. And then you did bishul on it. Dimuter b'shabbos lanichobli rota betanur avshe yitzala. So then you can put it in the oven on Shabbos and let it undergo a new tzliya. Tzlon is batal shem tzli. We should be mad if it didn't lose the original tzliya. Dehar rabbalazim imitz meshab mashva osam adadi. Because rabbalazim imitz equates them. He's quoted by the Torah on this issue. Ach lefiyani is daidi ein din prima gadim muhrach. I have to say, though, he says, not so glad to this idea of the Prima Gadim. Why? Granted that the first identity is not lost. Okay, you did the Bishul and then the Tzliya, it's still called Bishul. I get that. But Hare Shem Hasheni Vivadai Kayam, the second name is there. It's also called Tzli. Vishapi Yishlomar, the Mikri Ata Bishul Achar Tzli. So what you're doing now is Bishul Achar Tzli. Yeah. So what you would need to do is bishul, tzli, bishul on Friday. Right? Because now you've covered all your bases. And now you can do a new bishul on Shabbos. Because it's not bishul achar tzli, it's bishul achar tzli. The ach zeh nira lefiyani is daiti, but bishul v'achar kach tzalo be'erev Shabbos, he says, it does appear correct to me that if you did bishul Friday, and then you did tzliya Friday, you could now put it in the oven on Shabbos without any sauce. In other words, do another tzliyah. Because we go with the last one that underwent. And that point will be just tzliyah achar tzli. It's a fascinating issue with a potential halacha lemaisa application. This came up years ago when they first introduced the keter blech. You know, the blech with the water that is inside. And it's also known as the unblech. And the idea was that you're accomplishing kedera achar kedera. Kedera agave kedera. And then the achar is here. The kedera agave kedera. And one of the points that was raised was if you take rice that you boiled up on your stove, and then you heat it up on Shabbos on your kedera blech, that's afia achar bishul. People just assumed there were certain things they could do. The truth is, there were like halachic guidelines that were issued along with this.
Why is it a fiyum if it's done without...
Because there's no water in the rice when I heat it up.
Right, it's dry heat.
Yeah, it's a fiyum. Mm-hmm. So the... or maybe, I don't know if you should call it sliya, but it's not bishul. So now that raises certain questions. Now that we've raised this possibility, if I did the bishul before Shabbos, and then I heated it up before Shabbos dry, then according to this Bir Halacha, I'm fine. I could then heat it up dry again. Exactly. Yeah. It's Sliyah or Sliyah or Afiyah or Afiyah, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But the this whole issue, I sat there breaking my head over this, trying to figure out, is it canceling out, not canceling out, and it goes one way regarding Shabbos, another regarding Korban Pesach. So I hope we got something out of this piece. I'm not sure we did, but I think we did. That brings us to Bishul Achar Bishul.
By my definition, or what I conceive to be the definition of cooking or tzli, whatever it is the changing of the food itself. It was the anatomy of the food, the molecules.
Right.
There's a different effect with bishul. There's a different effect with tzli, right. And so on and so forth. So, I mean,
I'm pretty sure they're rejecting that idea.
Yeah.
Because if that were true, then bishul, tzli shouldn't be allowed either.
Bishul, tzli,
because
you're creating a new entity. Is that
yes,
what you're
it's still going to be a change.
That's what I was going to say. That somehow tzli achar bishul creates a new entity. So therefore, another tzli. I don't know what kind of an effect it would have.
And I couldn't find anybody who discussed basar v'chalav for tzli and then bishul. I couldn't find anything on this. Bishul achar bishul. This is easier for us to work with. It's a little more familiar, certainly. So regarding Pesach, Bishul Achar Bishul is irrelevant. Because once it's Mubushal, you can't use it for Korban Pesach. It doesn't matter how many times it gets Bishul. Nothing's changing. Regarding Shabbos, we're familiar with the Halacha. In Bishul Achar Bishul, your potter, it's not cooking. I'm assuming you're dealing with something dry, not a liquid that loses its Bishul character after it cools off. What about meat and milk? What about Basar v'Chalav? Is there such a thing as Bishul Achar Bishul or not? So the Menachas Chinuch in Sitkan Hay discusses this issue about Bishul Achar Bishul. It comes into the middle of his discussion about Bishul and Chamei Tveria. So I'm trying to figure out whether it's better for me to pick out the pieces or just do it outside. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do it outside of it. It's in the paragraph, the second paragraph of Hay, but it's going to cause more confusion if I try to do it inside than if I do it outside. He says, Bishul Achar Bishul is not called cooking as far as Basar v'Chalav is concerned. And he brings proof from the Kreisi Uplesi. Kreisi Uplesi, Rabbi Yonah and Ivashitz, is talking about this shach here that I brought in source test. The Shach in Yerudea is talking about the issue of heating up a non-Jew's kli. You have a Jew who goes to work in the house of someone who isn't Jewish. And they say to him, would you do me a favor, just put that on the stove. Shulchan Aruch says, actually, there's an issue here. I don't know that you could put it on the stove. Why? Because what about meat and milk that's absorbed in the walls? I'm not talking about where you see meat and milk in the kli. That's obvious. But even aside from that, I'm not allowed to cook meat and milk. So maybe, or the case they discuss there, is to rake the coals, to raise the level of heat that's underneath the pot. So he says, Uba Mordechai Sham Kosav, Sha Asur Levashal Basar Isur, Bebes Yisra, Bekadera Shal Ove Kochavim. Mordechai writes that you couldn't cook Asur meat in your house in a non-Jew's pot. Why you're cooking Asur meat is a good question. But let's say you had a non-Jew working in the house, and you got a heter from your rabbi that you could prepare non-kosher meat for your non-Jew who's working in the house. I don't know anybody who would actually permit this. I remember how angry my parents were. I heard this story when I was a kid about how my grandparents' generation in Europe, they would send each other goose liver for Hanukkah. It was like the big thing. They would send goose liver as a present, and I thought it would be very funny. I took my bicycle or whatever to the store, and I bought treif goose liver, and because it was cheap, whatever. And I was going to mail it to my cousin as a joke. Like, you know, they talked about sending goose liver as a gift for Hanukkah, there's goose liver. And boy, did I hear it for having gone to the store and bought something treif. You know, who knows, with, you know, Marisayan and whatever, and having it, you know, stored in the, needless to say, I didn't get to send it. Which is probably a good idea anyway, because I don't know that that goes through the mail, but I was a kid. But that's the case that he discusses, not goose per se, but he says you wouldn't be allowed to cook Bisari Yisur. You can buy it, but you can't cook it in a non-Jew's pot. Shema Yechad the HaYisrael, because the Jew might be the one to heat it up, and there's this issue of stuff absorbed. Lachin tzarach l'shvachos obdos kochavim shtei kederos. Achash al basar v'achash al cholim. Not only do you have to have separate meat and milk kalim for yourself, but you need separate meat and milk kalim for the maids. V'kach pasak, he gives you references to this. The miu basar lav davka. The issue is not meat per se. Elohu adin sha'ar devarim. Dezil basar taima. He says the same thing is true for anything else. The reason is still the same. The absorption in the walls will be an issue. Miu ein baze el chumra be'alma, vein ha'olam nizhar in baze. But he says the truth is it's just a chumra. And people are not makbid for this issue. So the crazy you place, he says, why not? Your argument sounded really good. Right? That this should be awesome, that you shouldn't be allowed to do this. Well, who made this only a chumra? So the Crazy Uplacy walks you through this issue. I didn't retype it. He has a nice couple of paragraphs on it at the end of. I didn't give you the reference there, but if you want to look at a Crazy Uplacy, you can get one on HebrewBooks.org. So it's in Yeridaya, Pezayin, Sivkot, and Yudgimel. At the end, he goes through this and he says explicitly the law of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul absolutely applies to Basar Chalav. It's not a Shabbos specific rule. He says, I might have thought it was Shabbos specific because of Melechas Machshavas. So I'll say, with Bishul Achar Bishul, you didn't accomplish anything. But he says it's not true because it actually comes from Pesach. It comes from Matzah Mevusheles. Just like Bishul Achar Afiyah matters for Matzah Mevusheles, so too Bishul Achar Bishul is going to matter. So he says, I don't understand. What in the world he's saying, especially when you have that Gemara in Chulin that we referenced earlier about putting the meat and the milk on the table at the same time, and there it says you could be liable for an Isser de Oraisa. Right? That was the language that we used in Chulin, right? It was in Zor's Dalid, the Umecho Basa Bachalav de Oraisa. And he says, for sure, we're talking about things that were already cooked. He says, no one puts raw things on the table. He didn't know about these raw diets and such. No one puts raw things on the table. It must be stuff that was cooked. It has to be cooked. I'm reading out of the Crazy Place. It must be that it was already cooked. You're going to put this in the hot pot. You're going to put cheese in it. So he says, this is an issue of Basar V'Chalav D'Oraisa, so I don't understand it. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, how do you say it's only a Chumrah? So his answer is that the Shach meant because there's only absorption in the walls of this pot that the non-Jew is using. And Bishul is not relevant regarding Tam. Bishul is relevant regarding substance. When we talk about not cooking meat and milk, it doesn't mean in the walls of the pot. That's a Chumrah Be'alma. The hardcore law is not to cook the substance of meat and milk. That's the way he takes it. But to take that and apply it back for us, the point is, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, he establishes for us, is not a Shabbos-specific law, but it's actually a halacha in Kol HaTorah Kula, deduced from what we talked about with the matzah. I thought that was an interesting point worth noting. His last discussion here is about Bishul in Chamei Tiveria. The Gemara in Pesachim says it's not called Bishul. For Shabbos also, we say, it's not called Bishul. What about for Basar V'Chalav? So the Rambam, in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, right, you see it there, Perek Tes Halacha Vav, it's source test, says, Hama'ushan v'amubushal v'chamei tiveria u'kayotze bohen ein lokin olav. No malkos. V'chein ha'mavashal basar b'mei chalav v'chalav meidai. So that's, the rest of it isn't so germane for us. I don't know why I bothered to bring the entire quote. We really just needed the beginning. Right, b'chamei tiveria is our issue, but he doesn't, of course, give us a makor because he never does, and the source is actually very unclear. The Minchas Chinuch, not here, but in Mitzvah Tzadi Beis, Sivkan Gimel, says that it's deduced from Hilchos Shabbos. Just like it's not called Bishul regarding Hilchos Shabbos, so too it's not called Bishul here. And there's evidence for this in the Pri Chadash that I brought you in source Yud, where he deduces laws from Shabbos to Basar v'Chalav, dealing with a Suffolk and a Yerushalmi. And we also have it in the Amshel Shlomo, where Shlomo Luria did the same thing in Chulin Perkhes, Halacha Kuf Beis. So we deduce, I'm not going to go through the Prichadish inside right now, but we deduce from Shabbos to Basar v'Chalav. However, the Minchas Chinuch notes that this may only be a technical status. Meaning, take a look at it in Sifkan Hay. The Avokan is, if you're looking at the second paragraph in Hay, there are a few paragraphs there. You're looking at the second one. And go up from the bottom 3, 6, 9 lines. The word Avol is in the middle of the line. Avokan. Got it? Haven't you have it? Avokan Esher. Demavushal v'chamei teveria habi bishul gamur. Perhaps chamei teveria really is bishul. Rat exeris hakosuv delo habi bishul. It's a quirk based on psukim that we don't call it bishul. Al mikomakom ein bishul acharkach. But really, there is no bishul afterwards. In other words, the rule of ein bishul achar bishul may apply even where the first bishul occurred in chamei teveria. Or perhaps not. Kevin in his rabba, since we have expanded and said, well, that's not really bishul, then yesh bishul afterwards, yesh bishul achar bishul b'chamei teveria. And indeed, it raises a few interesting questions regarding chamei teveria. Number one is the one we just asked. What if I did bishul b'chamei teveria? And then I did bishul with fire. So if I take the Menchas Chinuch's point, that maybe it really is cooking, then the food really was cooked the first time, right? It's sort of like the case we talked about way back when in Pur Revu, the ger from Yevama Samach Beis, the ger who converted to Judaism and he already had kids, and we said, presto, you fulfilled Pur Revu. The act was not a Maisa Mitzvah at the time he did it, but he has fulfilled Pur Revu. Or we talked about, I think, also the person who had a milah, but it wasn't a kasher milah, it was on day 7. But he had a milah, right? Or you know what we talked about it? We talked about fulfilling Pur Revu with a mamzer. So you can't fulfill a mitzvah with an isser, right? That was the whole thing, a mitzvah ba'avera. But now, that's it. He has no further chiyuv of Pur Revu. So here too, we're not calling it bishul, but the food is mevushal. That may be the end result. And indeed, the Prima Gadim actually says that. If you take a look in Source Yud Aleph, Nistapakti Bishul Bachame Teveria Betoldos Chama in the Vashel Acharkach Bachame Ur Im Chayav V'yeroi De Paterhu Dikvar Nispael Bebishulo V'efsher Mutter Legamre. I'm not sure about the distinction about Pater and Mutter here. Like, what is his hesitation? If it's really so, it's so. I'm not sure about what he intends there.
You know, I found that in Hilchos Shabbos of Kavod Bishul, there's a halachic bishul and this practical real bishul.
Yes.
So the kli shlishi could be as hot as as anything, right? And yet it's considered to be
it's not halachic bishul.
That a kli shlishi is not. There's no such thing as kli shlishi and bishul, right? So maybe that's the case over here as well. You could cook something in Chamei Teveria, and the Chamei Teveria can get very, very hot.
Right.
But for halachic reasons, you don't call it bishul.
Right. I think that's
basically the issue over here.
Yeah.
So practically speaking, when you say ein bishul achar bishul, it's got to be a halachic bishul as opposed to a practical bishul.
Right. And I think that's the Menchas Chinuch suggestion.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right. That he's saying it is bishul. We just don't call it that. What about if I cooked with Chamei Teveria and then I did Tzliya for the Korban Pesach? So is that Tzliyesh? Tzliya does not eliminate an earlier Bishul if it was real Bishul, right, for the Korban Pesach, but here it never underwent real Bishul. On the other hand, per the Menchas Chinuch, maybe this is Bishul. We just don't call it Bishul, but it is Bishul. So I don't know what to do with that. And then in Tzivka and Ches, he goes through a discussion that I didn't get to about what if I roasted it with fire, I did tzliyesh, and then I boiled it with chamei teveria. Right? And it's just the flipped question. So all this is very interesting. There's clearly a lot more to see, but I thought I would at least be ma'orer a little bit. I think we'll do one more shiur on this mitzvah, God willing, next week. The week after that, I believe.